The U.S. Department of Agriculture announced its final plans last month to roll back guidelines for school lunch programs. The guidelines are part of the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act. President Obama signed it into law in 2010 to ensure that kids are getting healthy food while they're at school. The changes will go into effect by July, and they apply to school meals that qualify for some federal reimbursement. They will loosen nutritional requirements on milk, whole grains, and sodium in nearly 99,000 schools across the country. Bettina Elias Siegel is author of the forthcoming book, Kid Food, The Challenge of Feeding Children in a Highly Processed World. Bettina, what's your take on these nutritional rollbacks?
Well, I think first and foremost, I would want people to understand that this rollback was entirely unnecessary. 99% of districts were already meeting the old and more stringent nutrition standards under the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act. And specifically with respect to whole grains, which was one of the topics in question, 85% of districts were having no problem meeting that standard. And even for the districts that claimed to have a problem, there was already a system in place where they could seek a waiver. So this was really entirely unnecessary, and yet it does have very serious consequences. 30 million kids eat school meals every day. Two-thirds of those kids are low-income children for whom school nutrition is incredibly important. And so, you know, these changes have real consequences, and they're negative consequences.
So there are a lot of different views on this. And we reached out to Gay Anderson, who is the president of the nonprofit School Nutrition Association, which represents school cafeteria workers and companies that supply food and equipment to districts. This is what she had to say about the whole grain issue. And it's not every school district that's having trouble using whole grains, but she said this is what happened in her experience.
We hear about the whole grain biscuit down south or the whole grain tortillas. For me, I make homemade chicken noodle soup in my district. It's a very favored thing. But the whole grain noodle, it didn't stand up. It would break down and we wouldn't have any noodles in our soup. And so I actually asked for a waiver through my state so I could buy a regular egg noodle and be able to use that for those days so we could still have a good product.
So despite the fact that it may come from a good motivation to have whole grains in school lunches, there are, in some cases, real problems with trying to implement that. What do you say?
Well, first of all, I'd like people to understand that when we say whole grain, we're not talking about 100% whole grain pasta or 100% whole grain bread. We're talking about whole grain rich, which means that these foods, pasta, hamburger rolls, simply have to contain half whole grains. So that's the first point. Second, it's really important to keep in mind that by law, the National School Lunch Program's nutrition standards are supposed to match the dietary guidelines for Americans. Those guidelines are unequivocal. Adults and children are supposed to be eating half whole grains in their grain foods. So this was merely consistent with dietary science. Manufacturers have had years now to both anticipate that these new standards were coming and then to adapt to them. And I have spoken to school nutrition directors around the country who have said it's a bit of a red herring to claim that the products on the market don't meet standards because manufacturers have certainly had time to do so.
Here's another point. Even if they do meet those standards, there's the issue of whether or not the kids will eat the food. And Gay Anderson weighed in on this as well.
Some of it just has been a very large waste for our students, and they're throwing away the food. And we don't want them throwing away food. We want them eating and consuming the food.
So if kids really aren't that interested themselves in lunches with lower salt and more whole grains, doesn't that prove the point that there is more waste and you can have the regulations you want, but kids are turning up their noses?
Overall, participation in school meals has been increasing. There may have been a drop in participation among higher income kids, but that is likely attributable to the fact that school meal prices have gone up. But among kids who truly need these meals, the kids who are federally subsidized, the participation has dramatically increased in the last, I think, 10 years.
If you say that these moves in the rollback are unnecessary and gratuitous, and that most schools are meeting the guidelines as they existed, what do you think the motivation is for the rollback to begin with?
So if I'd like us to step back, you know, from this particular conversation about rollbacks and look at the bigger issue, which is why are we not funding this program adequately and providing districts with the support that they need to be able to serve healthier food to children?
How short is the funding?
Well, when the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act went into effect, districts were given an extra 6 cents per child per lunch to meet the healthier standards. And at the time that that 6 cents was added to the budget, it was widely thought that districts really needed 10 cents per child per meal to meet the standards. So they're already like fighting this uphill battle. And again, I think that's something I would like more parents and Americans generally to think about. Why are we not funding this program adequately?
Bettina Elias-Siegel is the author of the upcoming book, Kid Food, The Challenge of Feeding Children in a Highly Processed World. Thanks a lot, Bettina.
Thank you so much for having me.